Brother Larry has asked that we would read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, the entire chapter. An overall subject of this chapter is giving. And as we read it, consider what are the results and who benefits when we give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's kneel together in prayer.
Good morning, and welcome to each one. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus, the one who always will have all power in heaven and in earth. Some time ago, I started working on a message from Exodus 6, verses 6 and 7. There's seven I wills that God gives in that portion of Scripture. I don't know how it is with some of the other ones, but it just didn't come together. And as I prayed about it, my thoughts were drawn toward the area of giving and receiving. And my initial thought was, well, I don't think this congregation really needs a message on giving and receiving. But it kept coming to me, so I give to you what the Lord gave to me through the Scriptures. And I do believe and I commend you for the giving that you do. As a congregation, we want to look at a message this morning titled Gracious Giving and Graciously Receiving. When a girl we'll call Megan was in the third grade, she kept coming home from school without her winter gloves. It frustrated her mother because she kept buying new ones, which the family couldn't really afford. One day her mother got angry and said, Megan, you have got to be more responsible with your gloves. You just can't keep going on. Megan started to cry. Through her tears, she told her mother, that as long as she kept getting new gloves, she had the opportunity to give her gloves to someone that didn't have any. Now at age 18, Megan's work includes volunteering in community and mentoring inner city kids. Referring to her desire to help people, she said that it felt like that was the kind of thing that I was just supposed to be doing. And I hope that we all have that kind of a mindset this morning. We want to look for a while at the doctrine of giving and receiving from the Scripture. When we think of giving, our minds usually tend to go to financial giving, the giving of money to others that have a need, and certainly that is an important part of our Christian life. But giving as a child of God doesn't always have to involve money. And I think that was brought out in the Sunday school lesson very well when Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk," to the lame man. That's giving from the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Those treasures are not necessarily laid up with money. For where your treasure is," he said, "there will your heart be also." And he also said that no man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Money is a necessary part of life to function in society, but certainly we know that it should not become a god to us to the point that we serve it, as many people do in our day. Jesus said in verse 33 of Matthew 6 there, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so I say, as important as it is to give money, there are so many more ways that an individual can give that are important and necessary in the life of a Christian believer. Many who have given their time to help other brethren and sisters do various jobs, teaching a Sunday school class, visiting the sick or the elderly, or just visiting for the fellowship of visiting, quilting a blanket, getting groceries or medicine for someone, taking meals to someone in a time of need, and the giving of produce and gardening goods, keeping the church building maintained and in order. And the list could go on and on. And I do commend this congregation for the way that you have given in all these areas, plus more. And so the man that can give thousands of dollars is of no more value in God's eyes than the individual that can only give pennies, but gives time and other resources to help others. And I believe the Bible would tell us it's not about how much we give, but it's about how you would give, what you give. And I want to look at some areas of, or different attitudes, we might say, toward giving. First of all, the cheerful giver. Brother Jeff read to us from 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Every man, according as he had purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And then it goes on to say that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, "He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remain forever. Now he that ministered seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God." First of all, when we give, we're not to do it grudgingly. "Well, I'll give, but I just really don't feel like it." That's giving grudgingly. We're not supposed to give out of necessity. It's because you feel like you have to. It's just something you feel like you have to do as part of your Christian journey. I don't believe either of those attitudes bless the Lord when we give. For God loveth a cheerful giver, the scripture says here. That's one that realizes that it is He, God, that gives us all of what we have, and that it is He to whom we give it when we give to help others. Jesus brought that out in Matthew 25, verse 34. He says, "And the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." It's important that we reach out and meet the needs of others. Or there are some that have the attitude, well, they made their bed, let them lay in it. And withhold giving when they can give. And when they know of a need. Matthew 25:41 says that he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's how serious it is for the child of God to give. It's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. So it is important, extremely important to give. It's important that our attitude is right when we give, and it's important that it be done cheerfully and with the proper motive. I believe for giving in any way an individual chooses to give to be done in a proper manner. It needs to be done from a thankful and a grateful heart. With Thanksgiving just behind us, I thought, be a good time to speak about this, because I think giving needs to be done from a grateful heart. Ephesians 5:20 says, We're to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:15 says, By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The realization that everything we have comes from the bountiful hand of God, and that we are only stewards and caretakers of it. Psalm 69:30, the writer there says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And I believe we can magnify our Lord by giving of what he has given to us. Doesn't matter how much it is. It's the heart that matters. To give with a thankful and a cheerful heart. After all, the word is thanks. Giving. Then we'll look at the compassionate giver. 1 John 3:17 and 18 says, Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our Lord had a heart of compassion as he walked on this earth. He healed and he helped, he warned and he even scolded when he cleansed the temple. All because of his love and his compassion for people. These verses here in 1 John, I believe, are telling us that if we turn our back on a known need in a brother or sister's life and do not make any effort to help in that need in whatever way we can, we do not have the love of God in our heart. How dwelleth the love of God in him? The scripture asks. You know, we don't read here how it matters. That it matters how the need came about. Even if we know that the need came about from poor management of the resources that the individual in need mismanagement, if that's what you want to call it. If that's the way it came about, it's still necessary for us to help meet that need. Doesn't mean that we should be careless and frivolous in how we meet that need. I think we need to be careful in that area. But out of a heart of compassion, regardless of how that need came about, we are still called to reach out and help. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." A compassionate giver gives, I believe, because he realizes that the Lord gave us all. And it is he who gives to the giver. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." When we give, we are giving to the Lord. And we need to keep that in mind. A truly compassionate giver, I believe, puts himself in the shoes of the one who has the need and gives accordingly. Next, we want to look at the contented giver. In Mark 12, starting at verse 41, it says that Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast their money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Jesus could see this widow's heart. The account suggests that she didn't have much to give, but that she was content with what she had. And she had a desire to give to the Lord's work. The scripture says here that she gave all that she had. I believe she trusted the Lord to meet future needs. That's a faith that God will honor. In Philippians 4, starting at verse 11, Paul writes these words, "It's not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things," he said, "through Christ which strengtheneth me." The Apostle Paul says in those verses that I have learned to be content. I do believe that there is far too many of us who do not give and cannot give because we have not learned to be content, making obligations that are really not necessary, and thus restraining us from giving of time or finances like we ought to in the name of getting ahead. The reality of it all is that an individual can be happy and have more joy with a lot less and able to give more. The blessings come when we learn to be content with what we have. Our world is definitely not geared to that type of thinking. Quite the opposite. Advertising agencies continually try to push their hardest to get people to buy much, much more than what they need. Then we have partnership giving. Philippians 4:14, Paul writes, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." In other words, I think he's saying, you took part in my affliction. You were there with me. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And I think that's telling us that we shouldn't limit our giving to those within the church. But in this verse, we're supposed to do good to all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I think that means is It becomes part of the fellowship of the saints, the partnership of and in the body of Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The blessings are great. When a need is met within the body of believers, it increases our love and bond of love with each other and the fellowship we have with each other. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. I believe that helping to meet another brother or sister's need is evidence of our love for our Lord. In 2 Corinthians 8, Brother Jeff read from chapter 9, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul speaks of the gifts given by the Macedonian church. In verse 4, he says this, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. This also takes in the receiving part of a gift, the bond of love and of the fellowship that there is on both sides of giving and receiving. The fact is that none of us knows how swiftly we can be moved from giving to receiving. That is all in the Lord's hands for each one of us. Acts 20, verse 35 says, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The scripture doesn't say here that it's not a blessing to receive, just that it is more blessed to give than to receive. The ones who may be in need of financial help can give tremendous encouragement to others and can give in a variety of ways. I have always been one who felt like I wanted to and needed to pay my own way. My father-in-law taught me a lesson one day. He was a man that I greatly respected. I was trying to pay him for something that he did for me. I don't even remember what it was. It was one of the few times that he looked with me and talked with a firm, stern voice. He said, put your money away. The money just gets in the road most of the time. And it was a lesson to me. The fellowship, the friendship, and the camaraderie that is gained by helping others is far more valuable than a dollar sign will ever be. Then we have the spiritual giver. Again, this is an individual that realizes everything we have comes from the Lord and gives accordingly. James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The prophet Malachi writes in chapter 3, starting at verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed God, or robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Then he says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Have you ever heard someone say, I work hard for my money, and I'm going to do thus and so with it because I deserve it? That's quite a bold statement to make when none of us knows what a day brings forth. And I believe we need to approach each day with that realization in our hearts. James 4:12 says, there's one lawgiver that's able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? go to now, you say, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I don't believe it's wrong to plan ahead, but I believe it needs to be done, realizing and recognizing the fact that if it is the Lord's will, we can do this or that, and if it is not the Lord's will, we will not do what we think we plan to do. To do a spiritual giver, to be a spiritual giver, I think is to have a heart for the Lord's work and to support the work as well as we can. The spiritual giver, I believe, follows Matthew 6, 1-4, where it says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I believe this is in reference to meeting spiritual needs, needs in mission work, needs in the church, and so on. I do believe that there are times when it is good to know the giver of a gift. It again increases the bond of love and fellowship between believers. And there are times that an individual wants to show appreciation and thank another for a gift that has been given. Jesus didn't do all his deeds in secret. The point here is not to make a show of what one gives for personal recognition and gain, but to give out of a heart of love for the Lord first and for the people of God. And I can stand to be corrected if I'm wrong in that area. But the Apostle Paul knew where some of his gifts that were given to him came from, and he expressed appreciation to those individuals that were involved there as well. Ephesians 6:6 says we're not to serve with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. And then we have the faithful giver. I heard a preacher say one time that it's better to give a little regularly than to give a lot occasionally. I'm not so sure that that matters, really. But 1 Corinthians 16:2 does say this. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That would imply that there ought to be a systematic form of giving, and it should be done regularly. Our brother read 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says this, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And again, I believe the faithful giver realizes that what they have has been given to them from God, from the bountiful hand of God, and they give out of a heart of gratitude. Matthew 10:8 says, freely ye have received, freely give. Luke 6:36-38 tells us that we're to be merciful as your Father also is merciful. It says here, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. And I want to emphasize here, these verses do not mention money. There are so many ways that an individual can give, in so many ways that a person can be blessed by that giving that do not involve money. I've known people who gave a lot and had little to give from, and they were just full of the joy of the Lord. I've also known people that had a lot to give and gave little and were some of the most unhappy people that I've ever known. Whether it's money or whatever resources that one has to give, it needs to be done cheerfully and in good measure. And I will assure you the Lord will bless you in ways that you never thought of. This verse ends here with, "The same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." The fact is, to whom much is given, much is required. Matthew records the words of Jesus also as he writes, "With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." When we talk about giving, the question always comes up, how much should we give? Well, the Bible says here in the scripture that was read, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." The Old Testament, the tithe that's referred to there, refers to a tenth. Many follow that percentage today, and I think that's a good place to start. Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, about the tithe, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." While he was pronouncing woes on the scribes and Pharisees, he tells them of the tithe, "These ought ye to have done," but he says salvation don't come by giving a tithe. It's a matter of faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, showing mercy and judging righteously. These are the weightier matters. Giving is a side effect of true heart service to the Lord. And I'll just say this about the 10%. If you purpose in your heart to give at least 10% of your income, and you're not keeping a record of what you give, you're probably not giving 10%. Just a few comments on the receiving of gifts. First of all, to graciously receive. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:18, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." He received the gift as an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, he says, well-pleasing to God. None of us knows when we could be on the receiving end. But God has a purpose for all things, and to accept the gift given in the way that Paul received it here is well-pleasing to God. Accept it as a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then there's the blessing of receiving. He says in verse 17 of Philippians 4, "Not because I desire a gift, but I do desire, he says there, fruit that may abound to your account." He said, I do desire that you would be blessed. There's fruit to your account, the giver. And that's the blessing that the receiver can give to the giver. "I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Paul accepted the gift and desired them to be blessed. It's a tremendous blessing when it flows from both sides, from the giver and from those that are receiving a gift. And sometimes it's hard to accept gifts given. I believe the portion of scripture in 1 John 3 is in the context of giving. We read there, "If we shut up our bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in us?" And it goes on to say, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Sometimes it's hard for those that are in need to accept gifts. And it says here, "If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." And I believe when a gift is received in confidence that it is God who is the ultimate giver, not necessarily the one who gave it, but the giving comes from God himself, then it is received well and we will have confidence toward God. And then also we are to receive gifts joyfully. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "To rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When a true need is met, to receive it with rejoicing. And I believe when it's received with rejoicing and received with knowing that it is God that is the ultimate giver, the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. To receive it with joy. And I certainly would be missing the mark altogether if I didn't mention the greatest gift from the greatest giver of all time. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 4, says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together." There are times we need to give, there are times we need to receive. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift. And it's one that we all need to receive with joy, with thanksgiving, with the realization that we have a need. Paul ends chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians that our brother read with these words, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." It's a gift we all need to receive and take with thanksgiving and joy. Unspeakable there means simply indescribable. It's a gift beyond words. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Let's all stand for closing prayer.